This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. We're excited today to be joined by Larry Coombs. Larry serves as the CEO of the Queen of the Valley Medical Center in Napa, California. Cannot be a more interesting place to lead than Napa. We're going to talk to Larry today about working in for-profit, working in not-for-profit, some of his thoughts on his career, priorities, leadership, and more. Larry, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Yes, good morning, Scott. It's good to be with you here today. Larry Coombs, again, Chief Executive Officer at Queen of the Valley Medical Center in Napa, California. We are part of the Providence St. Joseph Health Network. Prior to joining Providence, I spent about 13 years in the for-profit side of the business. So working for Providence is my first CEO job with a nonprofit faith-based organization.
Right, and you're with a magnificent faith-based organization. Providence St. Joe's enjoys a tremendous reputation from the very top, from Dr. Hockman on down, Mike Butler, great group of leaders. And the passion and the faith-based sort of flows throughout the whole system. What's that like? Different, not different from working for a for-profit, not-for-profit? Because a lot of the for-profit organizations are magnificent as well. They might not bleed faith-based, but they're very compassionate as well. Take a moment and talk about any differences you see in working through for a great for-profit versus great not-for-profit out there.
Sure. Yeah, I think we all share the same priorities in terms of solid financial performance and delivering high-quality health care. I'd say the biggest difference I've noticed in the nonprofit sector, particularly in the faith-based sector, is how committed we are to how we treat one another with compassion and dignity. And that's really important because it allows you to really work with somebody who may be struggling in their role in a dignified manner. And you're able to work more with them to give them the tools to do their job better. And you take a little bit more time and you're more patient to develop the person, because at the end of the day, we know that they're all great people. They may just not have the right skills, or they may just be in the wrong job. And we really take a lot more time to develop people in the faith-based nonprofit side.
Interesting. And talk about, you also did an MBA at Duke at some point, you know, one of the great business schools in the country. Increasingly, you see people that are leaders that had these great business educations. We had somebody on yesterday who was a Stanford graduate and now is CEO of the University of Connecticut Health System. You're a CEO. And then we've got the other side of the coin, which is great doctors and nurses who have become CEOs. Talk for a moment about what you learn in business school and how that translates into career.
Yeah, one of the things I especially liked about Duke was that I was surrounded by a ton of smart people. So a lot of people who are my age who had worked in different industries, in different countries, in different cultures. And it just teaches you how to really look at a business more deeply and more broadly. And it teaches you how to ask the right questions. So I really felt like I came out of Duke where I could go work in any industry because I knew the right questions to ask. And I learned to be very humble, because you learn a lot about what you don't know about when you're in business school. So that was one of the biggest things I appreciated about Duke. Now, the other thing I really enjoyed is that it was a very tight-knit community in Durham, North Carolina. There were about 400 kids in my class, and we all lived in the same town. So no matter where you went, we were all hanging out together. And I really think that built some really deep bonds and friendships and really helps you build a really nice career network.
Well, if you're a Duke undergraduate, you learn, it's almost bled into you to dislike UNC. And if you're a UNC grad, it's almost bred into you to dislike Duke. If you go to graduate school, you don't have that same type of rivalry feeling, or were you able to develop those healthy hatreds?
Oh, sure. Well, they train you, even when you start graduate school, they train you to hate North Carolina, and they teach you the chants for the basketball games, and you still do sleepouts for season tickets, so you're at the games. Just a heck of a lot of fun. But it's a friendly rivalry, too. I have some friends who went to UNC, and we just have a great time giving each other a hard time.
It's one of the great rivalries in colleges and college athletics and so forth. And yes, I say a healthy, healthy rivalry. Take a moment on the journey from outside healthcare to inside of healthcare, and whether the perspective of originally working outside of healthcare has been very helpful to working in healthcare because of even an open mind, lots of questions, looking at different things. Talk about that transition.
Sure. So I spent my first 11 years professionally in the automotive industry. I worked at for Ford Motor Company and then at the headquarters of Porsche. So more of a sales and marketing type role. And you really learned how to interface with everybody throughout the organization. So if you think about it, I ran all of the franchising operations for Porsche. So mostly I was dealing with the dealer principals who are typically highly educated, well-off, entrepreneurial. And it was very similar to working with physicians, very much the same type of backgrounds and personalities. And then as you worked with the salespeople at the dealerships, it's very similar to the frontline caregivers who are interfacing with the patients every day. And then similarly, you have your engineers who keep the hospital running are very similar people to those guys who are fixing the engines in the back of the dealerships, and even getting into the porters and housekeeping. I mean, so when you, I always strive to treat everybody with the same level of respect, and I built those relationships throughout those organizations, and that made it very easy for me to transition over into a senior position in healthcare. I think I also benefit from the fact that I'm married to a nurse, so she's taught me a lot.
And take a moment on this question. You don't have to take this seriously. Porsche vehicles, overpriced or underpriced?
Oh, I think they're priced just right.
There you go. That's the right answer. Queen of the Valley Medical Center. Talk about a few issues that are you're particularly proud of with respect to your medical center.
Yeah, one of the things that in Napa, we have a very wealthy donor base, and they're very generous, and they give us all the opportunities to buy the latest and greatest equipment to care for our community. The things we're most proud of really are all of the designations we've received recently. We were voted into the top 250 hospitals in America twice by Health Grades. We are a primary stroke center certified by the Joint Commission. And we also just got our designation as a center of excellence for hip and knee replacements. Prior to our company does not support LeapFrog in terms of submitting data anymore. We have a great forward-facing dashboard for consumers, but we had three straight A ratings with LeapFrog prior to that. So, you know, we've done some significant improvements in our clinical quality. We implemented a really nice program for the treatment of sepsis, where we're one of the best ranking hospitals in our organization. And those are the things that you can truly step back and say that we saved a lot of lives by doing what we did. And the other thing that we've done is we've just built an incredible leadership team of people who are all like-minded, who are focused on taking care of our caregivers, because we know when our caregivers are happy, they're more prone to be giving really great patient care. And then that makes the doctors in the community happy. And there's nothing better we can do as a leader is to set that type of tone for the organization.
And talk a little bit about the employee base at Queen of the Valley and your pride in that employee base.
Well, we've got a very broad employee base. Napa is so unique and small in size. Really, we're about 80,000 people big for the city. So we draw employees from all over the place, from south of San Francisco to north of Santa Rosa. So they come from all over to work at the Queen. They take a lot of pride in what we do. And they're willing to drive to come work for us. So it's a very diverse patient base, very diverse employee base.
That's fantastic. And talk about, if you were to give advice on leadership, a few thoughts that you would give to an emerging leader in terms of thinking about leadership and how they should approach it.
A couple of things that come to mind. And the first is one that I always keep in mind on a daily basis is be seen a lot. Smile a lot and listen a lot, because your employees want to hear from you, but more importantly, they want to be heard by you. And if you're not open and out there and visible, you don't get that opportunity to hear their needs and to communicate what you're doing to make the organization better for them, a better place to work. I think the second thing I'd say to you, Scott, is that I think it's always important to live in the now and deal with the current situation at hand, but it's important to always have a plan for the future. You have to have a vision, and you have to be able to communicate that to your employees, because even things can be going extremely well and steady at the hospital, but they still want to know that there's a future vision, and it can generate a lot of excitement for your organization. The last thing I'd say for leaders is, you know, always be humble, be a servant leader. Your caregivers will love you for it, and it'll make a much better work environment for them, for our patients, and for our physicians.
Thank you very much. And Larry, one final question. As you move towards the second part of this year, the last part of this year, top three priorities as you move into the last part of this year?
Top priority for me is keeping my leadership team and my caregivers happy and engaged. You know, it's challenging enough to be in a hospital right now at any given time, let alone during this time of COVID. So engaging the employees, engaging my leaders, making sure that they understand how much I appreciate what they're doing on a daily basis is the top priority for me. I think the second big priority is, I think a lot of my counterparts are doing the same. We're looking at multiple iterations of our, you know, future business model to adjust in the event that COVID either sticks around longer than expected, or if the business simply doesn't return. For example, at our hospital, our procedural volume is back. We're doing the same amount of surgeries almost that we did before the COVID situation hit, but people are less and less willing to come to the emergency department. So we are trying to encourage patients to don't be scared to come to the hospital. If you have a condition, please come in. But people aren't coming in for the stubbed toe, the jammed finger, the broken nose, things like that. So if that business doesn't return in its entirety, then we need to perhaps look at adjusting our business model. I think the third top priority for me is clearly what I call just self-care, taking care of yourself, making sure that your family's taking care of themselves. Because if you're not exercising and eating right and doing meditation, if that's what you like to do, you know, that will make you a better leader. It will make things less stressful and allow you to more clearly lead your organization during what's a very, very challenging time.
Certainly. So make sure, number one, taking care of your team and your employees through this very stressful time. Second is providing some optimism and a long-term vision as to where you're going. Third is this concept of self-management, self-care, and making sure you can't be a good leader unless you have yourself centered as well. So, so important. The other thought you had was you have to constantly be looking at the business model and try and retain the current business model. If you don't come back for the ER and do those kinds of things, then you got to figure out how to adjust and strengthen the business model around other things that are working and going great.
Sure. Yeah, you have to always look to widen. How do you provide more services to more people just to minimize your risk when a certain part of the business starts to falter a little bit?
Well, Larry, you've had this magnificent career. What a great place to be. I know that next time we get you on the podcast, we'll ask you directly for wine recommendations from the Napa area. What a magnificent part of the world. And I'll try and avoid having that conversation privately. But I appreciate you so much joining us today, Larry. What a pleasure to visit with you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Scott, it was great to talk to you. Hopefully we can have another conference someday soon. The last time I saw you, we were in the frozen tundra of Chicago last October. So
we're hoping next April or May is our current best, most optimistic guess, but we're looking forward to it. In any event, thank you so much, Larry. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Scott.